Colossians 17, starting at verse 12. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Are you a patient person? The passage before us issues a command. Put patience on as your clothing. It also, we are also told in Galatians 5:22 that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is patience. So in this passage, in verse 12, we are told, put on as your clothing. In other words, dress it on. May it saturate your life. May it be that which is most noticeable from you to others. Kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forgiveness. Do you ever get irritated? Well, how do you deal with irritation? Cold food, long lines. At times, inept waiters. The vacuum cleaner stops working when you're expecting company in the next hour. Your car gets a flat tire when you're hurrying to an appointment. Well, what about interruptions? How do you respond when you're in the middle of a project you have to get done and somebody knocks on the door or calls you on the phone? And now you're really accessible in modern day America. You have cell phone. How about delays? We want everything now. So we have instant oatmeal, instant fast food, instant everything. You know, it's estimated that in the normal span of life, you will wait in the normal span of life 6 months at a red traffic light. You know, if you're waiting at one of those red traffic lights and it turns green and you're not on your way in a second, the person behind you is red. Why are we so impatient? And how do you deal with the incapacities of life? What if you have a situation with your own health, it's irreversible? Or the health of someone else, and you're grieving because their health's irreversible. How do you respond to the spiritual test? You have a loved one who has rejected Christ. Son or daughter, husband, wife, father, mother, and you've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed over again, and you've asked other people to pray and pray and pray over again, and they are unchanged. Are you patiently enduring by continuing to pray for them with joy and be an example to them with joy? because your joy is in God, not necessarily in how they treat you. And what about things that you can't understand, imponderables of life? Not only can't you change it, but you don't even understand it. It doesn't make sense to you. What do? How do you react? Well, how are you doing on the checklist? I think we'd all say God is in the process of growing us in patience. Which brings us to 3 points. The persevering power of patience, the powerful priority of patience, and the precious process of patience. Okay, first, persevering power of patience. Paul began Colossians 3 emphasizing that we have been set free from the bondage of sin, praise God, from the condemnation of sin by the power of the Holy Spirit who has caused us to rest in Jesus Christ's sacrificial death for our sin and his triumphant resurrection. We have been set free in Christ from the condemnation of sins. And therefore, in chapter 3, verse 1, we're to seek the things of Christ that are above. Because we're united to Christ, we're to keep on seeking Christ who is above. We're to keep on looking to Christ who is above for the power to grow in the graces of the Christian life, which are outlined in verse 12. Humility, meekness, and patience. The power to grow in the fruit of the Spirit is the result of being united to Jesus Christ, who indwells you, and indwells you for the purpose so that you might grow in Christ likeness. And we have been raised with Christ spiritually from the dead with power. He indwells us. We're united to him. And that means everything Jesus accomplished in his ministry, his saving death, his resurrection, forgiveness, sanctifying power to grow in Christ's likeness is yours in Christ as you yield to him. So therefore, we can look forward to the fact that in the past we've been raised with Christ. In the present, we're seated with Christ. And one day we will be exalted in Jesus Christ and be in heaven. We are a new creation with a new ethic love, with a new heart peace, with a new attitude thanksgiving, with a new passion, Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be a Christian, a follower of Christ. So since you've been raised with Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, and sin has been decisively broken, keep on passionately pursuing Christ to become a more patient person who endures the pressures of this life. Be who you are in Christ. Do you know why we do have delays and inconveniences and irritations and incapacities? Romans 5:3 gives us the reason. If you turn to Romans 5:3 and underscore this verse, the Apostle Paul writes, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. That is the word for patience. It is endurance. God sovereignly ordains sufferings, not only to reveal our impatience, but to make us more patient. These irritations, these incapacities, these delays are not obstacles. They're divine opportunities to grow in patience as we lean on God. We grow stronger in our ability to endure the pressures of trials as we trust God through them. He works into us a deeper trust in him that results in patient endurance through suffering and trial. So suffering and trial are not stumbling blocks. They're gifts of a sovereign God to grow in patience. We are so impatient as a people. Our culture treats tomorrow like it's a dirty word. What is patience? Well, it's not simply the ability to endure a tedious task. And it's not even simply the ability to endure pain, suffering, or irritable people. It's more than that. This is what William Barclay, the commentator, wrote about the meaning of patience in our text. It is not patience that can bow its head and let things descend upon it passively and endure until the storm is past with a sour attitude. It is a spirit that can bear things not simply with resignation, but blazing hope. It is not the spirit that sits statically enduring in one place, but it is the spirit that is bearing these difficulties because it knows these difficulties are leading to the goal of glory, to being made more like Christ. It is not patience that grimly waits for the end, but patience which waits for the dawn. It's not just simply sticking it out and grimly bearing it, but it's saying, I know whatever befalls me, Jesus does all things well. John Newton, perhaps, other than in Scripture, put it best. All things are needful that God sends into your life. Nothing is needful that he withholds. He wrote that in reflection of his life as a slave trader. He wrote that in reflection of the sufferings of his wife that took her life. Everything God has put into our lives is absolutely needful to develop patient endurance in us. And if God withholds something, as painful as it is exactly what he has sovereignly ordained. And if that thing were sent into your life, it would make your life worse, not better. Let me put it this way. God does his most deepest work in our life by molding and shaping us in with our tears and our blood and our sweat on the shop floor. But oh, what he is making is lovely. That's patience, perseverance, the ability to bear up under weariness, strain, and persecution, because God is at work in us, and we're looking forward to being more like Christ despite the grief of the trial. And we trust that God's all-sufficient grace will bear us up and always be enough to sustain and strengthen us. Romans 8:28. God works all things together for what? For good, What is that good? To be conformed to the likeness of Jesus. That Jesus might be the firstborn among many brothers. And what about James 1, 2 through 4? Count it all joy when you go through many trials, knowing that the trials, what do? Cause patience to have its full effect, so you might be complete, not less, but more in Christ. Praise God. Whenever you start to be impatient, remember, God is still in control. Our resentment against God so often is against the timetable that he has ordained, the schedule he has assigned to us. And when we are impatient, we must keep God at the very center of our thinking. Trust he is in control. Trust he is sovereign. Trust that even though you don't understand what the situation is or how it has come about, that God's sovereign love has produced it and is leading it all the way to something more beautiful and lovely than you can ever imagine. But patience speaks of steadfastness under provocation. When you're ill-treated, when you're angry at someone, sinfully angry, when you have thoughts of retaliation or revenge, in telling us to be patient, the Apostle Paul is simply calling us to imitate the character of God, who is slow to anger, and also calling us to entrust revenge to God. And to not take it out ourselves, because when we take it out to ourselves, it does not make us better, it makes us worse. It does not draw us closer to God, it drives a wedge between us and God. We are called as God's people to so meditate on the gospel, which is why we celebrate and participate in the Lord's Supper regularly, to meditate on the gospel so much in the Lord's Supper that we are captured by the power of God's forgiveness for us. For we have done far more against God than anyone has ever done to us. Because it's out of being captured by the gospel that we are able to bless those who curse us and to pray for those who despitefully use us. So that's the first point. The second point is the priority of patience. Now, as you turn back to Colossians 3, we read in verse 12, okay, put on as God's chosen one, because you've been chosen, patience, bear with one another. If one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. Okay, that's the priority of patience. So we looked at the persevering power of patience. Now the priority of patience. What's the priority? Priority is your salvation and mine was accomplished because of God's patience. And there were many other attributes that went into our salvation, but surely it was patience, forbearance, that was an aspect of God's kindness in Christ through which salvation was accomplished. And you might ask, well, where'd you get that from? Well, turn to Romans 2. Verses 4 and 5. Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? So What is God saying here? He's saying this. Your salvation was accomplished because the kindness of God in Jesus Christ came to this earth and suffered the full penalty of your sin when you did not deserve it. I did not deserve it. And there's nothing we could do to earn or deserve it. If God were fair, he'd send us to an eternity in hell, because that's what we deserve. But God has given that which we don't deserve. His kindness. Think of it. For all the times, countless, that we have rebelled against God, he has not withheld forgiveness, not a stitch of time, when we've genuinely repented of sin and asked forgiveness. Not once. Think of it. If you're alive today and you've trusted God, how merciful has he been? He didn't destroy you before he saved you. The priority of patience in God's plan of salvation. And then think of how many times in the Christian life we forget God. We forget his goodness. We forget his graciousness. And think of how many times he repeats and repeats and repeats his promises to us. I will never leave you or forsake you. I will supply your every need. And he does that in spite of the fact we don't retain God in our thinking as we ought. The priority of patience. And we're told here, if you turn over to James chapter 1, verse 2, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. What is the testing of faith? It's the irritations. It's the trials that don't make sense. It's the inconveniences. It's all the types of suffering we go through. It's through these that God is producing maturity in us. Maturity in the Christian life can only come through suffering. There is no maturity without patience, and there is no patience without suffering. Are children patient? Anyone who has children know that they are not patient. They need to mature and grow in patience. And God in his sovereign mercy has determined to make us mature, to make us like Christ, to make us victorious in Christ. And that can only come through suffering and difficulty and hardship. If you say, well, I don't want any problems, I don't want any suffering, I just want to sail to heaven on peaceful shores, well, then you're not going to grow in maturity. Because God's plan is to mature us by putting pressure into our lives. Now listen, don't waste your sorrows. Don't waste your suffering. Don't simply pray, God, get me out of this problem. Let that not be your first prayer. It's tempting. But pray instead. Heavenly Father, melt me. Melt my resistance to you through this suffering. Heavenly Father, show me how impatient I am. So the impurities rise to the top where they can be scraped out through repentance, that I might be more faithful to you, stronger in serving you, more sympathetic to those who are suffering. Heavenly Father, use this trial fruitfully to make me more like Jesus. That's the priority of suffering. God is working in you. You know, you might think you'd help a butterfly if you help him out of his chrysalis, but you'll destroy his life because he'll never get the strength he needs to soar. And God's in the process of taking us, butterflies in a chrysalis, and causing us to soar for Christ. And then last, how does it grow? What's the process? The root from which the fruit of patience grows is abiding in Jesus Christ. There is no fruit without yielding to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells us. And as a result, we're united to Christ. We read John 15, verse 1. My Father is the vine dresser. I am the vine. Everyone who believes in me is attached to me, so that the sap of the Holy Spirit flows from me to them. You are branches. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot do anything apart from the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. It's not that I can't do some things. I can't do anything, apart from Jesus Christ. How do we grow in patience? It's by abiding in Jesus. It's by remaining in him. The Spirit enables us to remain in Jesus. The Spirit enables us to abide. So it's submission and surrender to the Word of God. What does the passage say? Verse 16 of Colossians 3. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs in your hearts to God. In other words, the more we yield to Jesus, the more we surrender to Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, and the more we keep our eyes on Jesus, we read in Hebrews chapter 12, who for the joy before him endured the cross. You know, Jesus loved us so much, he endured with joy. Why? So that he would see you and me serving and loving and following him and rejoicing in his forgiveness and worshiping him. He endured for you. And as you submit and surrender to Jesus Christ, his patient love is processed in your life and grows. So we've seen in this message the persevering power of patience, the powerful priority of patience, and the precious process of patience. Keep in mind, Jesus is an example. He's not just our example. He's our Savior who died to forgive every single thought and action of impatience we've ever had. And he had to die. And he died to forgive us. But he not only died to forgive us, he died to indwell us and to make us displays of his patience to others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are our great God. Thank you, Lord, for the persevering power of your patience, for the priority of your patience, and that you process us to make us patient. Oh, Lord, we pray that you would enable us as we partake of your supper to become enthralled and captured by the power of the gospel, to forgive and to cleanse, to strengthen and renew. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.